Ein neues Euroleague-Spezial. Auch dazu sagen wir von der Abteilung Basketball guten Tag. Wir haben auch heute wieder nur einen Gast und wir werden unser Launchpad in Ruhe lassen. Wir lassen den Basti in unserer Gartenhütte. Das hat er sich auch verdient und dann kann er sich den Kopf zerbrechen über neue Gags. Bits nennen das ja die Comedians. Muss man vorsichtig sein und das sind nicht irgendwelche Witze, das ist Material, was man sammelt. Ja gut, bevor wir uns darüber lustig machen, wollen wir zum Ernst der Lage kommen. Was heißt zum Ernst? Es geht eigentlich darum, ein bisschen auch Gelassenheit mit den nächsten 30 Minuten zu vermitteln. Denn wir reden mit einem Spieler, der es gar nicht so leicht hat in der BBL und in Basketball Deutschland. Der ist seit 6 Jahren da beim gleichen Verein, beim FC Bayern München. Und man kann eigentlich relativ unbestritten sagen, dass er auch mindestens genauso lange einer der besten, wenn nicht sogar der beste Spieler der Liga ist. Aber er ist nie zum MVP gewählt worden. Und er hat auch nie den Pascal Roller Award gewonnen. Also manche Fans mögen ihn einfach sogar gar nicht, obwohl er einfach alles hat, was einen Basketballer ausmacht. Er gewinnt dir Spiele, er ist ein Allrounder, er kann im Grunde alles. Er ist einer der besten 5 Spieler in der Euroleague. Dazu wurde er im vergangenen Jahr gewählt mit der Auswahl ins First Euroleague-Team. Ja, aber dieses kleine Aber wollen wir auch ein bisschen beleuchten, aber eben auch nicht nur. Es geht um Vladimir Lucic vom FC Bayern München, der den Bayern schon wieder ein Spiel gewonnen hat. In der vergangenen Woche in der Euroleague, der am Anfang der Saison Probleme hatte mit einem Impfdurchbruch und deswegen einige Zeit pausieren musste. Auch dazu gleich mal während dieses Gesprächs ein bisschen hinhören. Er äußert sich auch noch zu den Long-Covid-, Post-Covid-Folgen, die sowas haben kann. Also eine ganz spannende Geschichte eigentlich. Ich habe ihn zu mehreren Sachen befragt, logischerweise. Das Ganze auf Englisch im Übrigen. Wir werden das danach noch mal kurz aufaddieren, aufsummieren, was er denn so gesagt hat. Also es geht natürlich darum, um seine Herkunft. Er ist ja sozusagen in der Jugend von Partizan Belgrad groß geworden, dann zu Valencia gewechselt, von Valencia zum FC Bayern. Mittlerweile auch 32 Jahre alt. Wir werden darüber reden, was er noch plant. Ja, also da steht ja eventuell nochmal eine Vertragsverlängerung an oder vielleicht nochmal ein Ortswechsel. Und natürlich auch die Geschichten, die ihn in Deutschland immer wieder zu einer Figur gemacht haben, die so ein bisschen streitbar oder reizbar ist bei den Fans. Das Thema Flopping, das Thema schmutziger Spieler sein. Wie viel ist davon wahr? Was alles hat er so da erlebt und wie sieht er diese Situation da um ihn? Was bedeutet es für ihn, ein Spieler zu sein, der in den Klatschmomenten abliefert? Warum ist das eigentlich so? Das alles wollen wir in den nächsten 30 Minuten mit Ihnen besprechen. Ich wünsche euch dabei viel Spaß und in unserer zweiten Folge zu Gast bei Euroleague Spezial, das ist Vladimir Lucic oder wie sollen wir ihn nennen?
Lucha.
Yeah. Lucha, you go by Lucha everywhere.
Yeah.
Your parents as well? They say
Lucha? No. They call me Vlada or Vlado.
Vlado, okay. And, yeah. Parents never use the nicknames. Yeah. free day. So when you see people here practicing, you like to shoot some ball?
No, yeah. Of course not. Yeah. I mean,
you're not a gym rat. Like, you know, when you see a basketball, you see an empty arena that you'd like to shoot.
I mean, when the schedule is not like we had it in the last 7, 8, 10 days, then yeah. I mean, if you are in a gym and you see all these young guys or other players working out, for sure that motivates you. But from other point, today is a nice sunny day. Didn't expect it, so I prefer to stay outside.
Okay, so you're not like the first in the gym and the last out, usually. Your career or have been at
I
the
mean,
beginning.
True, you know how it is. When you're young, for sure, you know, the only way to make something in your career is to work hard. There's no other way. So I spend a lot of hours in the gym, coming before, staying after the practice. Right now, in this point of career, you know, we have a youngest guy to do it. But obviously, I'm working on still on my weaknesses and trying to improve, even being on peak or of my career already.
Yeah. Your coach said just before the season that you do everything 120%. Is it all, everything what you do about basketball or in your life in general, that you are more accurate than other people, that you're more ambitious?
It's a hard question. I mean, it's more question for people that I'm surrounded than for me itself. I think, yeah, I'm trying really to give my best. I was raised up that being second is like being the last. So to be on a top of the hill, you really need to work hard or harder than somebody else. So that's the mentality. Probably it started from my early age, growing up in a Partizan as a young kid, trying to reach some goals and made the first team, and later on tried to make some career. So probably it became the part of me.
So your parents were hard on you or Partizan?
I mean, I have two sisters and a brother. You know, I'm the third kid in the family, so it's not easy. You need to fight for your rights, I guess.
Competition every day.
Yeah, competition start at the early ages, you know, like having also a brother who is basketball, right now ex-basketball player, being 6 years older than me, and my sister who is only 11 months older. It was always fun, you know. So probably that thing also helped me build some character and competitive part of myself.
And sport was always a big thing in the family?
It is. I mean, my dad was a soccer player. My uncle was really talented and a big soccer player too. So kind of whole family was into the sport. I mean, and also the Serbia, you know, and Belgrade itself, it's a pretty sport country, as you know. So we all grew up in a let's say happier time when kids was basically out the whole day, and the main thing was just playing some team sport, either soccer. I think everybody like here start with the soccer, and later on, you know, you find yourself with basketball and some like I did, or some other sport.
So you follow the soccer team as well in the qualification for the World Cup?
Of course I did. Yeah. I mean, it's still a sport number one in Serbia. It's a huge thing what these guys did, and you know, they maybe don't have the best results in last years, but every time when they do something good, people are really hyped about it. And we already see national team playing in the finals of World Cup, and I hope one day we're gonna be right, that they're gonna make some results.
Maybe.
Yeah.
You are a kid of Partizan Belgrade. When was the day, when was the situation, the moment when you said to yourself, well, I'm going to be a professional basketball player, I want to reach some goals, I want to achieve more than just being a professional player? When did it all start?
I would say it'll start with a professional contract with Partizan. So me being, I don't know, 18 or 19 years old, just being part of that group, of the mentality of the team itself, of the ex-Partizan coach mentality. It's really just the way I grew up. So all these 5 years in Partizan, we was winning every national championship in Serbia. We won Adriatic Leagues. We won the Cups. Every year at least you win, let's say, two trophies. So just that kind of feeling, packed arena for every game, wherever you go, somebody recognize you, and just building that type of mentality probably show me that then there's a thing that I would like to do.
When we watch you on the court, I think every moment, in every situation, it's like, you know, there is a guy who wants to win. You, more than anybody else, is like your whole body language is like, this guy really wants to win, and he wants to lead, and he wants to be there. Was it always like this from the very beginning, or did you kind of develop into this being a leader, being like you are today?
I don't really remember. I mean, I guess it was like this. It's really just a normal thing for me. If I gave up a lot of things through, let's say, the life beside the basketball. If I come on a practice every day, if we work hard every day, we don't do that just to say that we practice and work hard, right? And there is some purpose of it, and the only purpose is to win. And when you win the games, everything is easier. I've really, really like recover faster when I win the game the day after that we won, like the game yesterday or game against Fenerbahce. Life is better, you know. Situation at home with the wife is right away better, and everything's around. It's cool. So I just enjoying that feeling. That's the thing that really keeps me going, and probably the reason that I wanna play. But I don't really, on the other side, can understand anybody else not having that mentality. Just the playing, just to play, or what it is. I mean, we all do this sport to win.
And when you play privately, for example, with friends, some board games, or with your kids, you want to win as well, and you're kind of pissed when you lose?
Unfortunately, I do. I do. I was racing a few days ago. I was racing with my older daughter, and I didn't let her win, so she started crying. And then my wife was like, "Hey, can you sometimes let you beat you or something like this?" I actually grew up, my uncle, who was a basketball player, like a low-level basketball player, is super competitive, like a crazy competitive, and he never let me beat him. I remember I was crying when I was a kid. I was kicking the ball back in the house in Belgrade, but he never let me win. So maybe it might came from there. Everything, you know.
It's a mentality thing. So growing up with a couple of siblings and
for sure. I mean, I never thought about actually. It's last 2-3 years, people here start talking about this winning mentality, winner mentality, clutch player. I never thought about this in before. Also, in the past, for example, in Valencia, I didn't have this type of the role, definitely. But I didn't never thought about, not even now, what it is. It's a part of me, and it's a normal thing to me.
It's a normal thing. Like, for example, yesterday's match, you had a clutch 3-pointer at the end, although you missed a couple of threes before. So what is in this situation? Is it like, you know, I do it anyway? So you just want this in this situation when it's pretty close at the end, although you had a not as good game as maybe for your self-confidence? What would be better if you had 24 points in this situation?
I mean, when it comes till the end of the game, I don't really think about the shots that I took or that I missed before that. In that point, you must be like completely locked in to try to, probably you take those shots with more focus, you know, with more mentality that you must score. I think I'm lucky that through the career, I really somehow I managed to make these shots. I remember one shot against FS in Istanbul that I think it was my second year in Partizan. Ball somehow came to me, and I scored last second shots when I was like 20 maybe years ago. So we won this top 16 game in Istanbul. So I think confidence came from making those shots. Also last season, I must say that I really think that probably I deserved somewhere, but I was also lucky that shots went in. And then later on, every other game, you are taking them with more confidence. Mm. Although I would like to not talk about that very much, because I hope I will have many more shots in my career, and you know, from the what do you say,
you don't want to get judged only by the clutch
not situations. Really, I just don't want to talk about how many clutch shots I made, because I think can call the bad luck for the future shot that I will take.
You're superstitious
for these things. Yes.
Okay, so we don't talk about clutch situations anymore.
Okay.
But I think self-confidence is pretty much, obviously, it's one of the most important thing for a professional player?
It is. I mean, confidence making definitely huge difference in any sport itself. You know, I must say that it comes from the people that I'm surround, definitely the coaching staff, my teammates. You know, not that long ago against Madrid, I had a wrong decision, not taking the shots that I usually take, just trying to pass the ball. I lost the turnover that later on cost my team losing the game against the team that the only team that we didn't won last season. So that situation also kind of made me think about a little bit after the, you know, I'm understand that I'm coming from this COVID thing and not having the right preseason, stepping into the season with basically one team practice, but that situation made me a little bit think about the decision I made. So maybe the shots from yesterday came from that point, you know, not taking the shots against Madrid.
Yeah. You have any symptoms right now anymore?
No. I mean, situation is almost good. Definitely, you know, still body need the time to adapt to this schedule. Games every 2 days, 3 days. Let's say that last 6-7 days, my lungs finally start feeling pretty good, and hope in next week or two I will be completely back in a physical shape. Yeah. Although it's tough, you know, with the like I said, with this schedule, it's a normal thing to be tired and exhausted and play through this.
Yeah, definitely. 3 games a week. It's a tough schedule. Lucha, when I talk to many basketball fans all over Germany, because I travel a lot to all these different arenas, and many people say, "Well, this guy is really he's maybe the best player in Germany."
But he flops a lot.
It's not about flopping. He's kind of a dirty player. He has all the tricks. He has all the portfolio for, you know, to win, to do stuff like that. How would you respond to these people?
I decided not to respond at all. I mean, I really definitely I have some things that I'm not really proud of, but that's who I am, you know. Sometimes just guess being as you said competitive makes me do some things that later on watching it it's I'm not proud of it, but I just gave up trying to solve the things and talk with anybody about it, because I saw that it don't brings anything good, not to me but also not to my team. So starting from this year, I really want just to be focused on a game. I'm talking basically on a BBL. For me, honestly, looks like in a EuroLeague, I don't have that type of the problem. Let's say that I feel like I have much more respect in a EuroLeague than here. But I really don't consider myself being a dirty player. Probably Daniele has the right thing about it, but this is my 6th season in a BBL. I don't know if I counting the one in Würzburg that I had more than 3 or 4 technical fouls in this sixth season. Dirty player who do these type of things probably will be, and I'm under the radar, I think, more than anybody. At least we'll have more technical fouls, right? Mm. So,
and the BBL they invented a kind of a blacklist this season
I heard that.
What do you think?
I said a few times, you know, people forget about that. I'm pretty light, you know. I'm a tall. I'm 204, 205 guy guarding always stronger guards, being pretty light when and doing the things basically always in the air, trying to finish about the rim, and everything is really just small things can put you out of the balance. And then I think just people putting that in the focus, makes a lot of pressure to everybody around, and not everybody can handle that type of the pressure. I will not say that sometimes I'm I'm let's say not flopping or whatever. That's definitely part of the game, but everybody around it made it much more than it is. It's not a really topic from this podcast, but I know what some teams did with the WhatsApp groups of flopping and everything. And I mean, I can really not fight with that. I'm just, like I said, try to be focused on a game itself. Try to help my team. The biggest motivation, honestly, this season is to bring back the BBL title back here in Munich. That's why also the loss in the cup was a big loss for me personally. Let's say the two titles was the primary thing for me stepping into this season, but it is what it is, you know.
last question to this topic. I mean, you're one of the top five players in the EuroLeague, and you're probably the best player in the BBL. Everybody, like all these top professionals in every sport, they want to be loved. Like, you know, you are such a good player and you're so well respected. Do you think sometimes, well, it hurts when people boo at me, or do you say, well, it's part of the game, I don't care.
No, honestly, I really don't care about it. Mm. I was never the guy who wants to be loved by the people that I don't care about.
You want to be loved by your wife and your kids?
Yeah, I mean, I have a small circle around me, and I just care about those people of their opinion of those people. But to do the things that it's not me, you know, just that somebody will say he's a good guy or he's like this or that, I don't care about it. You know, so I had an interview, I don't know with who here in Germany, when the guy asked me that Mao Dolo said in some interview. Yeah. Was it you or somebody else?
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, that's...
You're one of the most funniest person in the world.
Funniest person, and you was pretty surprised, you know, so that's the vibe around it, like, but what should I do? Laugh and enjoy with the fans that they are against me. I take that always as a personal challenge, and I actually want to be... I felt better playing against the fans that are booing to me than like cheering, you know, so
like
I don't really have a problem with that.
Like Oli Kahn in soccer, he was kind of motivated by this. Yeah. Lucha, you are 32 years old. Yeah. So this is kind of the autumn, the fall of the career. Yeah. One big contract maybe ahead. You have the final year of your contract here in Munich.
Yeah.
What does your wife say? Where does she want to live in the next year? In Spain or in Russia or in Munich?
No, I mean... I never spoke about this honestly with my wife. I have an amazing wife, being like a unbelievable support to me.
She follows you everywhere.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, she already gave up basically of her career the year that we left in Valencia. You know, canceling some Italian master studies just to be with me. Oh. So city and everything around will never be with the topic in the family, you know, so it's just where I feel comfortable. Probably she, knowing me, knows that if I'm happy on the basketball court and the things around the basketball are good to me, that everything else is better, you know, because probably I can be a little bit hard when I'm unhappy with the basketball itself, you know. So,
but you have kind of a relationship to Spain because you speak pretty good Spanish.
Yeah.
So you're more years in Germany than in Spain, but maybe you're
definitely. It's one of the things that I'm pretty ashamed of not learning the German language.
No, I don't mean not to learn the German language, but you kind of would like to go to Spain one day.
I don't really think about anything right now. Where should I? So
Daniele Baiesi is just behind us, so maybe he will talk to you about the new contract after this interview. It's all good, Zakta. Yeah. It's all good.
I mean, you know, this is basically my sixth season here. We did that so many times. I signed contracts six seasons ago. I resigned it two more times. So, you know. We'll see. Really not the point of the season where the talking about these things.
So you usually talk in springtime, or I have no idea. When do
I don't know.
When do players talk about their contracts?
I don't know. I can only tell you that I didn't talk till now. That's all can I know tell you. So it's not really the question for me. But like I said, things like this sometimes get put you out of focus, makes you think about things that are less important, that that game itself, that the goals that I have still with this team, and I really don't care about what's gonna happen in the next season. Right now, I think we with these two wins in this week, we basically come back, you know, almost completely in a EuroLeague. I know that we set up some goals, high goals, and expectations with the season that we had last year, being one position short to go on the Final Four. So that makes this year even harder. But I'm motivated to at least try to make same result in the EuroLeague, and then, like I said before, the main thing is winning the BBL, because the defeat in last season and then the schedule and these four games in 5 days was really a big and tough loss. You know, needed me pretty much time to recover after that.
Yeah, I remember the frustration at the end.
Yeah.
By the way, before we talked about the EuroLeague and about the topic that you would love the most, about sport itself, about the EuroLeague, let's use the N-word one time, the NBA. Uh-huh. You've never talked about NBA ambitions in the last couple of years. Have you ever had the possibility to play there, ever thought about playing there?
I had an offer when I was leaving Partizan. I think it was New Orleans Hornets.
Oh.
Maybe two, or I don't even remember, 2+1 deal. I choose to go in Spain, in Valencia. Sounds strange, but back in the days was really harder to just go there, you know, and try yourself in a league. Later on, I am talking about the Serbian guys and the guys coming straight from playing in Partizan or the Red Star, you know. Later on, situation with Jokic and some other players opened that market, and it was easier, you know. There was a lot of young guys who went straight for some small teams in Serbia, straight to the league. And right now, I don't even think about it, honestly. I mean, watching from the side, I don't watch NBA that much.
Okay.
I watch definitely playoff, but for me and my way of thinking and playing the basketball, it's a different sport.
Yeah.
It's a different sport comparing to what we do here in Europe, in EuroLeague, in a German championship. And I don't know how I will fit in this system, this league. And I mean, you know, you still have some examples like Pablo Prigioni and some other guys joining the league super late, but I think it will be the thing that I didn't think accomplish through my career.
I don't stay like this. I don't want to be hard on you, but I think 32, now it's too late for the NBA. You should stay here.
Yeah, that's my opinion too.
EuroLeague this season, from our point of view, the competition is getting harder every year. What do you think about this season so far?
Definitely. I mean, super tight. I mean, a lot of teams can basically every team can beat anybody, you know. So every year some new teams show up with a big or huge budgets, which allows them to bring good players, talented individual players, and then it's just a matter of coaching staff and the team itself, if that team can find the right chemistry to make some bigger results. But we have many teams, you know, Zenit stepping up even last year, continue this year, Monaco and Asvel showing up much more than in the past year. past years than Unix Kazan is just, you know, bringing players every week now. So a lot of teams with a really talented rosters, and you know, with a schedule like this, and maybe the league itself, as we have here, or Spanish team has with the tough leagues, it's not easy, you know, to stay competitive and play and make some results in this year EuroLeague. It's gonna be tough and it's gonna be pretty tight, I expect. You know, not so many teams will have a big let's say difference in the wins. So we'll see. It's gonna be definitely fun till the really end of the EuroLeague regular season.
Last season, I had Luke Sigma in this interview situation here with the EuroLeague podcast. Your former teammate in Valencia.
Yeah, my former roommate in Valencia.
Your former roommate, even. So you're still friends, still in contact?
Yeah. I'm really good with Luke. I mean, you know, definitely him being one of the leader in Alba and me being one of the leader in Munich last, I don't know, actually. He came maybe a year after me in Germany, I think.
Yeah.
So in the last 5 years or 4 years, he was always at the end battle between Alba and Munich. Somehow these two teams separated from other teams in Germany. So, but we're still good, really good. I mean, we always have some small chats before and after games.
Okay, like little trash talking.
No, not trash talking. Just a regular chat. But we had a good time, you know, good time. We was pretty young in Valencia and we was having a fun time there.
Okay, no further questions about that. Luke said his favorite player. No, what do you think is his favorite player in the EuroLeague?
Luke
would say number one player for him in the EuroLeague is, it's not you, by the way.
Yeah, I guess it's not me.
Then I'm gonna ask you about your top three players. I was pretty surprised he said Eddie Tavares.
Tavares?
Because he says this guy is really underrated. He makes a huge difference in the game.
I mean, definitely. Definitely that I agree with Luke. You know, usually players with this body being that tall can change the game, but not the way that Tavares is doing for Madrid. Unbelievable. Body, you know, huge, being able to move goods. I can agree with Luke.
And your top three? Your top three players?
Last 2 years probably. I don't know if I will actually put him in my top threes, but I didn't also think
Who
about...
Who are your top three then?
Top three players?
Mm-hmm. Oh.
I would say, let me think, I don't want to forget somebody.
Mike James?
He will be...
Mirotic?
Mirotic, definitely.
Clyburn?
I really don't know. It's a hard question, you know, based on if you talk only about a pure basketball skills or the things that he can make and to the team he's playing, but I don't know.
We can pick one. You are Daniele Baiesi of a new team, and you can pick one player from the whole EuroLeague to build your own franchise.
Three guys I will like to have in my team. I will go with Nikola Milutinov as a 5.
Okay.
Mirotić as a 4 and Will Clyburn as a 3.
Okay.
Corey Higgins as a 2.
Okay.
And give me one point guard.
Calathes? No.
I don't know. I will see how big budget is, so so I will tell you about the point guard next time.
Lucha, thank you very much.
Okay.
You go to the kindergarten now.
Yeah,
your daughter.
It's a part of the day that I love.
And the rest of the day? Free day?
Yeah, day off finally. I mean, family time, definitely. Family time. We're going to go in a area, you know, Victor Ellenmark, grab a coffee, walk a little bit, see if this private Christmas market or whatever is starting to get open.
Not sure about that, to be honest.
I know that they canceled the big one, but
they canceled the big one. Yeah,
there is still these small ones.
The small ones.
I'm pretty sad. I was waiting for this salmon for last 2 years, and they canceled it again.
Oh, all right, okay. Lucha. Thank you very much
thank
for
you.
Your time.
Thank
Stay
you.
Healthy and all
thank
the best
you.
For the,
all the best.
Upcoming
Ciao.
Games.
Ciao.
Ja, das waren die 30 Minuten mit Lucha. Kurz zusammengefasst, vielleicht nochmal so ein paar Eckpunkte. Also ein Typ, der unheimlich gerne Wettkämpfe austrägt, also auch im Privaten, ungerne verliert. Auch seine Tochter beim Racing, also beim, ich denke mal bei einem Videospiel, wo es um Autorennen geht, schlägt. Oder vielleicht die gute alte Carrera-Bahn, wer weiß. Dazu die Geschichte mit dem Flopping, also sicherlich das eines der Haupt Aussagen von ihm da, dass er nicht stolz ist auf manche Sachen, aber dass er das nicht alles ständig und immer wieder und darauf anlegt, es zu tun, sondern dass er ja alles versucht, um Spiele zu gewinnen, aber gar nicht so großartig darauf aus ist, dass jetzt ihn alle mögen, was ich im Übrigen so nicht ganz ihm abnehme. Also um da noch meinen Eindruck zu schildern, das ist ein ganz sanfter Kerl. Das ist jetzt nur meine persönliche Beobachtung und so ein bisschen die Küchenphilosophie von meiner Warte aus. Aber als wir über dieses Thema gesprochen haben, wie er von den Fans gesehen wird und da, ich will nicht sagen, da habe ich so ein bisschen Pipi in seinen Augen gesehen, aber der Kerl hat einen unfassbar weichen Kern und ich glaube, dass er, es ist keinem egal, das war auch einem Oli Kahn früher nicht egal, wenn der mit Bananen beworfen wurde. Er zieht daraus die Motivation, das war seine Aussage. Es ist für viele Sportler im Übrigen auch schöner und attraktiver, wenn man gegen Fans spielt, die einen ständig ausbuhen, also speziell ja auswärts. Aber Fazit aus unserer Sicht hier bei Abteilung Basketball bleibt ganz klar, der Kerl ist weich wie Butter, aber lässt seine Seele auf dem Spielfeld und das macht im Grunde ja auch einen guten Sportler aus. Ja, ich hoffe, das hat ein bisschen dazu beigetragen, die Person Wladimir Lucic ein bisschen näher einzuschätzen. Wir wollen keine Glorifizierung betreiben, aber wir wollen einem der besten Spieler, den die BBL in der letzten Dekade gesehen hat, mal eine kleine Fläche geben, um einfach nur ihn etwas näher kennenzulernen, soweit das in 30 Minuten möglich ist. Das war's von dieser Stelle und ja, ich hoffe einfach, dass wir in der nächsten Zeit auch wieder so eine interessante Persönlichkeit haben, die wir ein bisschen näher kennenlernen wollen. Nicht vergessen, die Abteilung Basketball, die Standardausgabe, dann natürlich auch wieder am Montag und da geht's dann um das Thema Nationalmannschaft, denn das Fenster steht ja vor der Haustür. Bis dahin, gute Zeit. Apropos Nationalmannschaft.
We treat people here with complete respect. This is Germany.